guy on motorcycles, and then the helicopter comes, and then the world blows up. And
yeah,
I think that describes the first 11
I love movies. Them. I love them. I'd rather see that than a comic book movie. I'm looking forward to the next one. I'm also looking forward to Oppenheimer.
Oh, yeah.
And the Indiana Jones movie. I think that's going to be all right.
Is it going to actually have Harrison Ford in it?
Yeah, yeah. He's 80 now.
Grandpa Indy.
They de-age him. They're going to use the computers and make him, you know, ride a horse again.
They're going to AI him into history?
It looks pretty good. He's riding a horse through, like, Manhattan in 1969 during, like, a ticker tape parade for the astronauts.
All
and, of course, like, some ex-Nazis are trying to kill him. Looks pretty good to me. The guy that did Logan and Ford versus Ferrari is the director this round. And Spielberg and Lucas executive produce, which means they showed up on the set one day and said, hey, this looks great, guys.
Yeah. And reached into their pockets to finance it.
Yeah, do you need, how much money do you need? Who wants to go for lunch? That's pretty much the executive producer job.
you were talking about that song that the high school kid did, and it reminded me of the, again, the movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High, when everybody went to the prom at the end of the,
that's
or
right.
the senior dance at the end, and like the high school band played Life in the Fast Lane.
Right, right, right.
That was a pretty damn good rendition for a guy who looked like he just graduated from geek high school.
Yeah. I thought that movie was great. So much fun. It's like you pretty much know all those characters in the movie. You know, the nerdy guy who likes the hot girl that's sleeping with everybody.
Spicoli.
You know, the guy that, you know, gets tickets for everybody.
The scalps.
You know, Spicoli, the Damone. Stoner. You know, the guy who's graduated but still hangs out with all the high school kids. You know, the big brother, you know, who's into, like, the sister's friends.
Oh, know? Phoebe Cates. The infamous Phoebe Cates scene.
Right, right.
I once got ejected from some social media website because I had, you know, like, somebody had made a comment about something, and I just, whatever the comment was, the obvious response was the Phoebe Cates topless scene.
Sure, why not?
So I just took a screen grab of it, and I posted it in comments, and like 30 seconds later, I was banned from the site.
Yeah. It was funny. What happened, like, day before yesterday? Somebody's birthday or something, and I forget. Somebody said something about the birthday, and I said, you know, maybe this person should wear a tube top on their birthday or something. And I posted a picture of, like, this guy and it was an obvious, like, S&M outfit. So it was kind of funny, but it didn't show anything.
Right.
And then it was, like, immediately taken down. I'm like, what? And it's like, you're banned from group chatting for the next 12 hours. I'm like, who cares? I got other
you,
shit to do.
You went for it.
I got other stuff to do today, you know? I'm like, what, are you kidding me?
That was,
I'm like, all right, whatever.
100% worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. This is so bizarre, like, all the social media jail, and, like, they're imposing all these, like, stupid rules on there, and it's like all the stuff with, like, sex and violence and suicide, and, like Zuckerberg's making any type of difference, you know, in caring about people. He doesn't care. He just wants to get all that data and all that cake and all that money.
All right.
How do you feel about Zuckerberg?
Oh, I couldn't give a flying, you know what, at a rolling donut.
Yeah.
Where Mark Zuckerberg is concerned, he looks like he's the spawn of aliens, if you ask me.
Yeah.
He's an odd looking character.
He sure is. He's a weirdo. Yeah. What do you think
about Elmo Musk?
What do you think? I was going to say, you like Musk? I kind of like him. I kind of like him. He's interesting to me. I think he's at least he's got some kind of personality to him compared to Zuckerberg.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I could do without him.
It's all right. Yeah.
I don't care one way or another. Like, if I'm scrolling through my news feed and I see a Elmo Musk headline, I just keep scrolling because the guy doesn't interest me.
Yeah, that's how I feel about the Kardashians, though. I'm kind of interested in what Musk has to say every now and then, because at least he says something interesting or something that's just, you know, odd. Like, bizarre.
If you add up all the time I have ever spent tuned into a channel showing a Kardashian,
right,
it doesn't equal 3 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never once intentionally...
I watched 1.5 hour of the show once at the very beginning, the first episode, just to see what people were getting into, and I'm like, this makes no sense to me whatsoever. It's just a bunch of vain, super rich...
I haven't even seen the Kim Kardashian porno tape. I might be the only guy in the world who has.
Oh, I haven't even. Honestly, I didn't even know it existed. I don't think I'd want to see that.
How do you think she got famous in the first place?
Is that how she got famous? I knew that was true about Hilton, Paris Hilton there years ago, but I didn't know Kardashian got famous that way, really?
Yeah.
With her big old bum? Did she still have that big ass?
No. She didn't. She was just obviously breaking into it, but how did it go? I mean, to tell the story of Kim Kardashian, you got to tell the story of O.J. Simpson, because her father was one of the lawyers.
That's right.
Who represented O.J.
Right.
And then Kardashian died when she was still like a teenager, and so she, you know, a lot of people theorize that because she had, you know, no solid male role model in her life, she strayed down the path of Kanye West's and porno tapes. And,
really?
Yeah.
This is interesting to me. So maybe there's more to her than meets the eye. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about Caitlyn Jenner? Huh? What a weirdo. I knew him as Bruce. I still know him as Bruce.
Yeah.
If I saw him in person, I'd call him Bruce. I don't care.
I don't know that I would recognize him or her.
She carries around a Wheaties box with her, just so you recognize her.
That's me.
Call me Caitlin. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, can we? We should redo the Wheaties box and put her in that. What was it? She on GQ or Elle or something?
I don't know.
Put that picture on there. Vanity Fair. That's what it was.
What I said earlier about the Kardashians, I could say the same thing about Jenner. What was he ever in other than the Olympics?
The Olympics, that's it. And he was in the what's the one with the stars that used to be on TV? ABC's Week with the Stars. Remember they used to do those Olympics?
Yeah, no, I didn't pay attention to any of that.
No, it was so much fun. ABC's Olympics with the Stars, something like that. And like Fonzie and Bruce Jenner would like do a they do like a tug of war. Like Penny Marshall and Sidney Williams would be on opposite sides, and you're like, I don't know who to vote for. I love both of them. I love Laverne and Shirley.
Oh, wait. Laverne and Shirley were on opposite ends of the tug-of-war rope?
Yeah. And you'd have, like, the whole Love Boat team was on there, and Family Feud. You have Richard Dawson in there. It was crazy. It was the Battle of the Network Stars. That's what it was. Never heard of it?
Oh, no. I heard of it. I just never watched it.
Yeah, and you'd have, like, you know, John Ritter and Chrissy Snow. Suzanne Summers on there fighting on either side. It's like, I love Jack Tripper and Chrissy Snow. I can't pick. As a kid, I thought it was great.
Well, what
the
do you
people
mean
from
pick?
That's Incredible.
When they run in like betting lines, you could like choose Jack Ritter for John Ritter for 3-1 odds.
You'd have like Fran Tarkington like tackling Kathy Lee Crosby, like from That's Incredible.
Oh, I remember watching That's Incredible.
I remember seeing what's her name? She was in Escape from New York and Creepshow.
Oh, Adrienne Barbeau.
Of course, Adrienne Barbeau, Battle of the Network Stars. Yeah,
Barbeau,
come on.
Sorry.
Adrienne
Barbeau.
Barboobs. Yeah, Billy Crystal, I had that about it. Battle of the Network Stars with Adrienne Barbeau. Bamana, bamana, bamana.
She was also in Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah, she played the wife. But she was up there, like, you know, doing the parallel bars in Battle of the Network Stars and stuff. This is an amazing show. I wish it came out on Blu-ray, a DVD, a streaming or something. But yeah, this is what was interesting back in the 70s. You would have all these TV stars that would all like meet up for other shows. Like they'd all visit each other's shows all the time, and they'd get together and have like a picnic in the summertime and put it on TV for everybody to watch. It was cool. It was fun.
Did you hear that Fonzie's nephew Chachi, Scott Baio, was in the news this week?
No, what happened to Chachi?
He was bitching and moaning about how California has gone to the dogs.
Oh, and he moved
from California to Florida.
Yeah,
he's like,
cares?
Oh yeah, it's all sunshine and rainbows down here.
You know, at what point do you realize you're not a sex symbol anymore at 60? You know, it's like you were Chachi, okay, we get it, and you had your lean years. But it's like, come on, you're 60 now, and you're married, right? He's probably had, you know, thousands of women and probably a few guys, too.
True story, I met Scott Baio in Brooklyn back in like the 70s. My sister was dating a guy, and he knew him.
Yeah.
Do you remember the TV show Soap?
Oh, I remember Soap,
his his brother Jimmy Baio was in Soap.
Yeah.
And at the same time Scott Baio was on Happy Days playing Chachi, Jimmy Baio was on Soap playing one of the rich kids in Soap.
Yeah.
And the guy that my sister was dating lived on the same street. So on the off chance that he might be in his driveway one day, I took a ride with my sister and her boyfriend. And when I say I met him, I mean I like rolled down the window and waved to him.
Sure. Was he nice enough?
He couldn't have given a...
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't.
Chachi seems that way, yeah.
He didn't return the wave.
No. Billy Crystal was in there, too. He was a gay guy in that show, right?
Oh, yeah. It was one of Billy Crystal's first roles. Yeah, and so, it might have been the very first. It was great.
And then, of course, the spinoff was Benson, probably arguably a bigger show than Soap,
Robert
right?
Guillaume, right?
Yeah, Benson was huge for a while.
Yeah, I like that show.
Yeah, I see Jimmy Baio here. He doesn't really look like him, but...
No, I think they had different daddies.
Probably, yeah. You know who he looks like is the guy from Arrested Development. He looks like Jason Bateman a little bit.
You're absolutely
Jimmy Baio,
right, yep.
Huh? So he's... 61 now, Jimmy Baio. How old is Scott Baio?
He's got to be like 65.
Got to be. Yeah, I was giving him 60. He's probably almost 70, for God's sake. But I saw him in the reunion of Happy Days, and he was sitting so far away from everybody else that eventually, what's his name? Laverne's brother there that was a director and producer of the show.
Oh, Gary Marshall?
Gary Marshall was like, Scott, come over and sit with the rest of us. And he's like, what are you doing? Because I guess, you know, Joni went crazy after Scott got done with her or something. They had a bad breakup and she was like all crying and stuff.
She's dead now, isn't she?
Yeah, she was bonkers. Yeah, yeah, she was a little crazy. But I don't think Chachi wanted to be there. But he was there because he loved Frank Marshall. He probably got a good paycheck. But I was one of the few people that watched Joni Loves Chachi every week.
You mean all three episodes?
I did. Joni did love Chachi. The problem was, is Chachi didn't love Joni. Chachi was all done with Joni after like episode two. He's like, yeah, this I gotta see other people, Joni.
I gotta see other B actresses.
Yeah, and Ellen Travolta also on that show.
Joni Loves Chachi.
Isn't that interesting how it comes around? How things just turn around full circle.
Such an organic way to come full circle.
She was Chachi's mother, and Al Malarino, of course.
Molinaro.
Oh, is it Molinaro?
I think so.
I've been pronouncing it wrong since the 70s. He was on The Odd Couple,
too. He was on
too,
The Odd Couple.
As
he
Murray.
Was
I forgot
Murray
about
cop.
That.
Yeah, man.
I loved, which Al did you like better, the Japanese Al or Al Molinaro?
Well, I gotta say, Pat Morita was my favorite because
he's great.
He eventually went on to become Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who knew Mr. Miyagi owned a hamburger shop before he started trimming his bonsais and teaching Ralph Macchio karate? Did you watch the? Why am I losing
Cobra
my friend?
Kai?
Cobra Kai.
Yeah,
great.
I've seen a bunch of the seasons.
First season especially.
Yeah,
I'm like, this
awesome.
Is a great show. And then they kind of toned it down and made it more like family friendly, I think, like after school special.
I love what they did with Johnny. Like they made him like the high school loser who like maxed out in his senior year in high school and everything went down the toilet for him after that.
I just loved how Ralph Macchio was kind of the bad guy in season one. It's like you really feel kind of bad for, you know.
For Johnny. Yep.
And, it was pretty cool. And then, you know, they created a ton of melodrama for it. But I haven't watched the last couple seasons. But that first season I loved. And I watched season two and like half of three. And great show. There's so much good television on. And unfortunately not as many good movies. But there is some great TV still. And it's kind of scary because you can just waste so much time getting into these series. I think we're kind of coming out of it a little bit, but we did have a golden age of TV there for the last 10 or 15 years. I've been watching Barry.
Okay.
I'm not done with season three yet, but I'm catching up. I should probably be done with that by the end of the week or two. I like it. It's pretty good.
I binged season one, and then my wife and I moved away from it. I should probably get back into it.
Yeah, I really like it. It's a fun show, and Bill Hader's just great in it.
Oh, Bill Hader's great in
it. And, of course, Fonzie's in it, and he's excellent in it. Henry Winkler's in that. I really like anything with Henry Winkler in it. I think he's generally a cool dude.
Do you remember a movie of his from the 80s? I think it was called Night Shift.
Yes.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it was Michael Keaton and him, yep. And it was directed by Ron Howard. So Richie Cunningham, that was the first movie he directed.
That was the first movie he directed with yeah. his old buddy Fonzie.
Yeah, and they're in charge of like a morgue, right?
Don't they run a party
like a, and get hookers and
yeah,
stuff?
They ran like a prostitution ring out right. of the morgue.
Yeah, it's like that's a typical 80s movie right there. It's like you can't get that anymore, you know? But yeah, a lot of great 70s and 80s like movies that are just so like far out there now that'll never be made again. So many B movies.
Do you remember Bachelor Party with Tom Hanks?
Sure. Yeah, yeah. I remember Tom Hanks and Bosom Buddies too. Another great show.
Dude, if I show you my college ID, you will swear I am Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
College.
No
ID.
Kidding, huh?
Look
just like him.
I look just like, but not Tom Hanks today. God, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah,
but,
like Philadelphia Tom Hanks.
Go to hell.
the start of the movie, not the end of the movie.
You mean with lesions all over my face? No, I was talking about Bosom Buddies.
Bosom Buddies, sure.
When he had the curly hair.
Yeah, he's got the hair all crazy. Yeah. And what's his buddy's name there? He was the Beastmaster, Mark Singer, right?
You got me on that one.
Oh, you never seen The Beastmaster?
No,
him
I've
and
seen
John
it.
Amos?
I just didn't remember his name.
Oh, my God. And what's her name? Tanya. She was just beautiful. She died a couple of years ago. Tanya Roberts, yeah.
Yeah.
Rip Torn plays the bad guy. He's got like a loincloth in it. Like everybody wears loincloths in The Beastmaster. And they've got ferrets and like
who doesn't?
Talking mule, like an eagle and a falcon. There's all kinds of. That's a great teenage boy movie. The Beastmaster was on HBO like, you know, Tuesdays and Thursdays at like 3, 5, 7, and 9. It was on all the time. Great, great movie. You have any great movies from boyhood, like around those teenage years, from the 70s or 80s, like a pleasure movie?
Yeah, guilty pleasure movie for me, even though it was made before the 70s and 80s, was A Clockwork Orange. I discovered
great
it
movie.
When I was like,
yeah.
I discovered it when I was like 12, 13 years old. Yeah, that and Bugs Bunny are the main reasons why I like classical music.
Stanley Kubrick and Bugs Bunny.
They introduced me. They did more for my appreciation of classical music than anything. My wife thinks Clockwork Orange is a sin because it's such a violent movie, but
super violent
also,
movie.
Yeah, ultra violent. But it also features Beethoven. So.
That's right, but it also, by being so violent, it is actually tells you more about why violence is bad. That's
kind of what
Stanley Kubrick's doing in that movie. But it's one of my favorite movies from him. I love Barry Lyndon, too. You ever see that?
Yes.
Stanley Kubrick. All of his movies are excellent. Shining's good. Full Metal Jacket. First half is great.
Full Metal Jacket is awesome. Yeah, the part when they're in country.
The Sniper's
is
a little
good.
Bit much, yeah. But still good. Still good movie. The Killing, you ever see that? Or Paths of Glory?
Yes, both.
Oh, fantastic. Lolita, fantastic.
Every one of them. The only movies that I've seen more of than Stanley Kubrick's movies are Coen Brothers movies.
Sure. I'm going to put on this Frank Zappa pick that you have here, Dirty Love. You want to tell me a little bit about this before we play it?
Just that my brother used to come home from college with his 33s with his vinyl albums, and he came home with a bunch of Frank Zappa music, and we had what we called back then a record player in the basement, and he was like, hey, you know, you can go down there and listen to these, but don't let mom and dad know that you're listening to this one. And it was more than one. It was a bunch of different Zappa albums. And immediately I had to listen to them to the point where when he went back to school in September, the album was warped. It looked like a potato chip because I had played it so many times. And Dirty Love was one of them.
Sure. All right. So here we go. Here's Frank Zappa with Dirty Love. We'll be back in a moment. It is Time Travel with Chris Earl and Joe Marino. We are here with you until 7 p.m. Thanks for listening to your Freeform station. It's WMFO in Medford.
Give me your dirty love, like you might surrender to some dragon in your dreams. Give me your dirty love, like a pink donation to the dragon in your dreams. I don't need your sweet devotion, and I don't want your cheek. cheap emotion.
Whip me up some dragon lotion for your dirty love. Your dirty love.
Give me your dirty love. Like some tacky little pamphlet in your daddy's bottom drawer. Give me your dirty love. I don't believe you never seen his book before. I don't need no consolation. I don't want your reservation. I only got one destination, and that's your dirty love. Your dirty love. Like your mama make her fuzzy poodle do. Give me your dirty love. The way your mama make that nasty poodle chew. I'll ignore your cheap aroma and your little bo peep diploma.
I'll just put you in a coma with some dirty love. Some dirty love. That dirty love.
The poodle bites.
Come on, French.
The poodle chews his
nap.
The poodle bites.
Come on, French.
The poodle chews his
nap.
The poodle bites.
Come on, French.
The poodle chews his
nap.
Poodle bites.
Come on, French.
Poodle chews.
Not a speck of cereal.
Poodle bites.
Come on, French.
Poodle chews.
Nothing but the best for my
poodle bites.
Come on.
Tears roll down, 'cause it's the world I know.
A little Pearl Jam in the background, another one Joe picked. Tell me about Pearl Jam.
Oh, it's just, I wouldn't say one of my later in life discoveries, but when Pearl Jam was grunge and they were cutting edge back in the 90s, I was going through a rough breakup with somebody and I discovered some Pearl Jam music and it got my head straight.
I love that Collective Soul song you picked too. Was that Man Again? What is it called again?
The World I Know.
The World I Know. And this one is Man of the Hour. Yeah. Very good. And Frank Zappa, I was going to bring that up. When he was a kid, he had a bunch of sinus problems. So they ended up sticking radiation up his nose. Did you hear about this?
I did.
Yes. And my guess is it's like, what is it? Not radon. What the hell is it? It's like a capsule that they stuck up people's nose in order to get rid of, like, sinusitis. And he only lived till 52 years old. And
yeah,
it's like,
I think he died of prostate cancer, didn't he?
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, it's probably because you stuffed something nuclear up your nose.
He stuffed some radioactive isotopes up his nose.
Yeah, so he died from prostate cancer December 4th, 1993.
Yeah. Dark, dark day in American history.
He was an interesting dude. He was always angry.
But he was a philosopher who happened to be an awesome rock musician. If you've listened to the things that he's had to say about politics and about truth and about government, he was a Renaissance man, and not just for his musical abilities, which were off the chart.
Sure. You think if Elmo Musk learned guitar, he'd be like a modern-day Frank Zappa?
Not a chance in hell. Bite your tongue.
I don't know. He smoked a lot, too. He loved the smokes.
Zappa?
Yeah, he loved the smokes.
Yeah, but contrary to, I think, the very common opinion of him, I don't think he did any drugs. I don't think he did either, actually. I don't think he was into even alcohol. But more than a few of his songs were, you know, what was it? What's the name of that one song? Cocaine Addiction? No, not Cocaine Addiction. Cocaine Decision.
Right, right.
Is a great song of his. And you would think from a song like that that he was a big drug user, but apparently he wasn't.
He was always a great interview, too. Always an interesting guy to listen to. I remember the first... Do you remember CD3s at all? They were... it wasn't a single. It was a single. So a normal CD is like 5 inches or something. And they decided to come out with a 3-inch CD player. And it exclusively played 3-inch CDs.
I remember the product.
And the very first of the 3-inch CDs was, I think it's Peaches and Regalia or something like that, Frank Zappa. And I had that. It was a 3-inch CD.
Wow.
And those actually, some of them are going for... big bucks now because it was such a rarity, but I actually had the Sony 3-inch disc player, and the funny thing about them is they only held about 15 minutes of music, so you were constantly taking the thing out. So even though you could carry it in your backpack and have a CD player with you in
who was
college,
it supposed to appeal to?
I don't
Somebody
know.
Who had 15 minutes on their hands?
Pretty much. As soon as I bought it, I sold it like a year later, I think. I sold it to one of my friends, and I had bought it off one of my friends, and he probably gave it up for probably the same reason, which is just like, yeah, this sucks. You have to change it every 15 minutes, and there weren't enough 3-inch CDs. They stopped producing them after like a few months.
Go figure.
Yeah.
I think the marketing research might have revealed that. Before they made the investment. Do you ever have like a Discman or a portable disc player, like the full size one?
Yes, yes.
Did yours come with a button that had anti-skip on and off?
Yes.
Who would choose anti-skip off?
Yeah, anti-skip. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I turn it off because I like my CD to skip.
Did yours have super bass too?
Oh, yeah. I mean, let me tell you something. It blew me away.
Yeah, a little super bass. Brain Stew in the background. Another good band, Green Day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love that American Idiot album. Just fantastic. These guys are really good. What were you listening to in the... first of all, what is your favorite decade or genre of music? Would you say you have a favorite decade or anything? I mean, I don't... You know, I would be forced to pick like the 80s or 70s is mine.
Yeah, I say the 80s because all of my hallmarks of my life took place in the 80s,
yeah.
You know, and music was always an enormous part of it. You know, you can probably remember the song You Lost Your Virginity to.
Sure.
Right?
You know what it was? It was Magical Mystery Tour by the Beatles. How bizarre is that, huh? I had just bought it up at Leechmere and then brought it back, and we were hanging out in my room and we put on the Beatles, and I was done by the end of the song.
Well, at least it wasn't like a really short track.
No.
No.
Well, it was about 3:31. Yeah.
That's about average.
That's pretty good for, yeah, you know, teenage,
for
18, boy.
Yeah.
Right. For a prepubescent boy, whatever I was.
Wait, you lost your virginity prepubescent?
No.
Who's going to get arrested for that?
I think I had some fur going, yeah. I think I had a mustache, a little fur in the mustache.
Oh, you were talking about facial hair as the fur.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
Just checking on that one.
But, yeah, what's funny is it's just like, yeah, it was the Beatles' Magical Mystery Tour. You'd figure it would be like Falco or something, you know, but no.
Yeah.
Frankie Goes to Hollywood, you know, Pet Shop Boys, something like that.
No, mine was off of Who's Next.
Nice. Yeah. Really? What was it, Babo O'Reilly?
No, it was My Wife.
That's a great one.
I tried to, you know, time it so that another song was on when it happened.
Nice.
But, you know,
yeah.
After a while, I had to, you know,
I made my
move during My Wife.
It's funny because when I was doing stand-up, I would bring up Magical Mystery Tour, and I'd ask other people, you know, songs that they did, and some people would come up with some good stuff, but I never thought anybody really trumped my Magical Mystery Tour. But My Wife is right up there, I think. That's a good one to lose it to. Yeah. Remember, going back to Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Mikey's there. He's like, put on the second side of Zeppelin 4, right? And they play Cashmere, right?
Yeah,
which is actually on Zeppelin 3, right?
It's not a song from that album.
Yeah.
And I remember watching that movie in the theater, and that line came up. Side 2 of Zeppelin 4.
Yeah.
And then he's in the car with... what was the girl's name? Stacy?
Stacy, yes. And Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Jennifer Jason Leigh. Was so cute.
Yeah.
And as soon as Cashmere came on, like three of my friends and I stood up in the movie theater and we were like, that's not Zeppelin 4.
Yeah, yeah. It's the first thing. It's like any music connoisseur knows that wasn't Zeppelin 4. Yeah. I'm going to play a hot dog thing here in the background. Let's play this real quick and then I want to talk about the Wienermobile. Here we go. Listen to this one, Joe. They just renamed it. Yeah, yes. Let's talk about that. Let's listen to this one. Great song.
Hot dogs, Armor hot dogs. What kinds of kids eat Armor hot dogs?
Fat kids, skinny kids, kids who climb on rocks. Tough kids, sissy kids.
Even sissy kids with chicken pox love hot dogs.
Armor hot dogs.
The dogs kids love to bite. It up on the old banjo, put on the mustard and away we go.
So good. One of the best. What a great commercial.
And the banjo picking is like...
And who the hell would be offended by this commercial back then? Nobody.
Nobody. But today?
Today, everybody.
You're probably going to get some hate mail.
Fat kids, skinny kids, kids with chicken pox.
Sissy kids.
Sissy kids. And it's not cisgender, it's sissy, like can't fight. That's pretty much what sissy meant. Or sissy meant sister.
No. Yeah. Sissy had a much more...
effeminate.
Derogatory meaning to it.
Yes, mostly towards boys.
Yeah, no one called a boy a sissy that they weren't trying to say something a lot more offensive.
Sure. So, the Wienermobile is now... The Frankmobile.
The Frankmobile.
Like, and it's not named after Frank Zappa. It's named after a Frank.
Like a Frankfurter.
One of the best things about a hot dog is calling it a wiener.
And they probably renamed it because somebody somewhere finds the word wiener offensive.
Of course. So sad. How can the Wienermobile be canceled? So ridiculous. In the background, Rhinestone Cowboy Glenn Campbell.
Oh, awesome, too.
Yeah. There was a problem with this song, too, I think, right? Is there something wrong with the Rhinestone Cowboy?
I don't know, but my brother...
He was too butch or something?
One of my brothers had this on 45.
Yeah. Cool. This is a good 45 to have, I think.
At the same time he had this song on 45, you remember another song called Wildfire?
Wildfire, yes. Yeah.
About a boy,
it was about a horse, wasn't it?
Kid's horse, yeah.
Yeah. Wildfire. So I actually went for the Wienermobile position, where you drive the Wienermobile, and you drove to beach mostly. And I remember I was at UMass, and I applied for it. And it was basically driving to, like, Daytona Beach and then down to Miami Beach. I didn't get the job. But, like, they said, like, 10,000 people applied on the Wienermobile.
I would have been 10,001.
Yeah.
And I would have been elbowing people waiting in line. I would have been, you know, like, trying to, like, give people some kind of illness so that they would drop out.
I mean, what a great job, though. You're in a giant wiener, and you're just, like, giving people free food. You were, like, literally passing out hot dogs to everybody on the beach. What a great job. You're like Santa Claus on the beach.
Where does the driver of the Wienermobile sit? Like, does he sit down
and sleep
on the ground?
In the wiener, yeah.
Yeah, no, but like in the top? Like, you know, like a drag racer?
Sure, yeah. I think they have a top of the wiener, yeah. I think they'd have like a little, like, you know, a pop-up camper, like an old VW. They probably had something like pop-up at the top of the wiener so you could sleep up there. Who knows? Well, they had things that came down in the Wienermobile, like
it would have to have retractable, like side view mirrors to preserve the aesthetics.
I wonder if the Wienermobile had like a couch in there with a bunch of like 70s pillows. You can just make a pillow fort and sleep in that.
It sounds like what was that guy's name from Saturday Night Live that did the Love Master? What was
Tim Meadows?
Tim Meadows.
Yeah, the Ladies Man.
The Ladies Man.
Yeah, the Ladies Man. Yeah.
Sounds like the
Cavassier and a couple of Oscar Mayer wieners. How ridiculous. So they name it now the Frankmobile. How ridiculous. Come on.
Is nothing sacred?
God. So does that mean you can't call a hot dog a wiener anymore?
I'll call it anything I want.
I'm going to call it a dinky. That may be a bit much.
Oh, there it is.
All beef frank, it says.
Oh, look at that. It's got windows. I forgot what looked like, but yeah. It looks like
a hot dog is what it looks like. There's nothing sexual about the Wienermobile. Ridiculous.
I think if you look at the Wienermobile and you see something sexual, the problem is you.
That's right. I agree. The Wienermobile hit the road in 1936. It's funny because now they're saying it's the Frankfurter-shaped vehicle hit the road in 1936. Just call it the Wienermobile. There's six Frankmobiles, and they're going to... what happened here? Jeez. Up. All of a sudden, it changed to a Lego ad. What's going on here?
Yeah.
They don't even want me to read the article about it anymore. Be a Frank. All right. I'll look at the Good Morning America link, see what says.
It's a Wienermobile, but wasn't it an Oscar Mayer Wienermobile?
Yeah, it is Oscar Mayer. Do you remember the Baloney Kid?
Yeah.
I used to sing that song as a kid.
Yeah, I love that song. Was it
B-O-L-O-G-N-A?
My baloney has a first name.
Yeah. So the name changes. A 27-foot-long hot dog vehicle's first in nearly 100 years. Heinz, the parent company of the cold cut brand Oscar Mayer, said in a press release that the new name pays homage to the brand's 100% beef franks as it debuts a tasty new recipe that is more flavorful than ever.
100%
beef.
Give
me a break.
Never forget that lips and hooves are also beef.
That's right. Ugh. So it says that that was the other thing, is they pass out wiener whistles. So you pass out hot dogs and wiener whistles.
Wait, so we can't call it a wiener anymore, but kids are putting wiener-shaped whistles up to their lips?
That's right. Yeah, you can still put a wiener whistle in your lips.
Man, I'm glad my wiener doesn't whistle when you blow on it.
The wiener whistle. Make sure you whistle from the wiener the long way. You don't want to go the other way. You can get stuck in your throat. Franks for Franks means anybody who is named an iteration of Franks.
Iteration
of Frank can be stopped buying in person and get a coupon for a free pack of Oscar Mayer beef franks. So if you're named Frank
or Francis or Franny, or
that's not fair.
Francesco, yeah.
You call Frank Stallone up and he gets a free 12-pack of Oscar Mayer beef franks. Frankmobile is going to change only in name, continuing on the vehicle's mission to spark smiles and unite fans around a love of meat. Come on.
I want to take a picture of a Frankmobile driving into a tunnel.
I'll tell you, who writes copy for this crap? You know, it's like, it's amazing, like, when you get these higher-ups and they just spout out nonsense to you. And it's like, oh my God, always a positive spin on a negative thing. Oh, I don't know. I'll tell you, I'm going on to eBay tonight and I'm going to buy up as many wiener whistles as I can because they're going to be gone. They'll be collector's items. They'll be able to retire. I'll just sell wiener whistles on Etsy. Get 100 a shot for them.
You should buy them. You should sell them, but you should market them as, you know, like assault whistles.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're being assaulted
Frank's
on the street,
assault whistles.
Whip out your wiener whistle and hail the police.
Yeah, Oscar Mayer's assault whistles, because that's what they are. It's like nobody uses a whistle to actually produce music anymore. It's because everybody's going to get raped. That's why.
I tried avoiding that word.
Yeah, it's an awful word to use. But it's not canceled yet, as far as we know. Anyway, Time Travel's here with you until 7 p.m. If you like the show, my name is Chris Earle. If you don't like it, my name is Lenny Clark. Joe Marino is here with me until 7 p.m. We're talking about wieners. And Franks.
And whistles.
And whistles. Musical whistles. Or what would you call them? Security whistle. How's that?
Yeah.
A security whistle.
Yeah, so security whistle.
Yeah. But remember a dog whistle?
Yeah.
Like you had friends that had dogs and they had a little dog whistle and make the dogs crazy?
I have an app on my phone for dog whistle.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you use it for your dog?
No, but I use it on airplanes when babies are crying because babies can hear really, really, really high-pitched noises.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah, so if there's a kid that's crying and keeping everybody awake on the plane, I wait until that little SOB falls asleep, and then I turn on my dog whistle app and I blast it where no adults can hear it, and the kid hears it and it wakes them up.
It's interesting you say that. Do you think we start with fantastic hearing and it just deteriorates every single day? We never get it back?
What'd you say?
Yeah. I think so.
I'm definitely proof that that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
know you can get some batteries for your ears just so you can hear people again, but interesting that babies have that high-pitched hearing.
Yeah.
Like dogs.
I don't know if I would call it high-pitched.
Maybe they're pot dogs.
They do say that babies have the ability to hear higher-pitched noises and eventually it... And it works. I mean, I've literally... pointed my phone speaker at a sleeping baby on an airplane.
Yeah. And
woke him up. How do you like it, you little SOB?
Yeah. Oh my God. What is up with all these people with their kids and like their entire life is their kid? Come on. I'm just noticing this a lot more lately. Like people will have a party and like there's like 10 adults in the room and none of the adults are talking to one another. They're just baby talking the kid and the kid's paying attention to none of the adults. And the kid's like three. It's like, why don't you just let the kid play?
I know if I go to a party and there's a dog, I'm going to give up on all the humans and start talking to the dog.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
And if I had a choice between baby talking a baby and puppy talking a dog, that baby is going to get lonely pretty quick.
Because dogs are good people.
Yeah. Babies are sexually transmitted diseases.
Yeah. Babies are always like juicy, too. They're always covered in something.
They're sticky.
They're sticky, yeah. I know. You really need like a COVID mask and a good pair of gloves. Good foam spermicide to handle a baby. Just wipe that all over your hands before you pick up the kid. Like, jeez. Sky High in the background. Great song. Remember Jigsaw at all? One hit wonder, but still a great song.
I know the song, but I didn't know Jigsaw.
Yeah, that was the name of the band. Yeah. Now it's a horror movie villain, right? Jigsaw?
Oh, yeah.
Do you ever see those Saw movies?
Yeah. You want to play a game or something like
First
that?
First one was great. Danny Glover and, was it Cary Elwes? And then it went downhill from there. It just got morbid.
Well, that's what you go to see those movies for.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're right with the favorite music is usually when you lose your virginity, like you're hanging out with your buddies, you know. Usually a period from about 12 to 18 is where you really start to really gain some respect for music. So I'm a big fan of the 80s, too. I love the 80s.
My buddies and I in Brooklyn, we had like a world-class air band.
Yeah. You know,
I played air drums, and my friend Steve played air bass, and my friend Mike played air guitar, and we were the air band.
Oh, good. Yeah.
And
One of the better air bands of the school?
None of us were in school together. We all went to different schools, but we lived on the same street.
Make patches for the jean jacket with the band name on it?
Yep. I used to make a little bit of money on the side doing acrylic painting on denim jackets.
Really?
And I would do album cover art.
Nice.
Yeah.
Like Zeppelin 4 and stuff?
I did Zeppelin 4.
Nice.
I did the Doors.
Who's next? With them peeing on the obelisk?
No, I didn't do Who's Next. I didn't get any orders for Who's Next.
No, it would have been a good one. The Beatles, Sgt. Pepper. That would have taken forever.
Yeah, it would have.
Yeah.
So I made I made money on the side. I think I did 4.
Yeah. To make a Van Halen logo?
I did. One of the 4 that I did was Diver Down. That was a real tough one. A red square with a white line going through it.
Sure. Yeah. Van Halen, though, that was a big one. I remember people were trying to figure out how they actually make the wings there. You knew it was a V and an H, but then it kind of looked like an F, and nobody was really sure how to make it. I'm going to bring us back to the 60s for a minute here. I'll put it in the background with the Beatles. Let's see. You can't do that. You like the Beatles? You're a big Beatles fan?
I like the Beatles. I wouldn't say I'm a big Beatles fan.
No?
No, I mean, I listen to them, but there are some bands that I can listen to on repeat, and the Beatles aren't one of them.
No,
I listen to them when they're on, but I won't like make a Beatles playlist or something.
No,
like
all right, all right. What about Tom Petty? You like Tom Petty?
Yes, I do. Same way I feel. What I just said about the Beatles doesn't mean I dislike them. It's just there are some bands that I can listen to on repeat.
Yeah, that's true. All right, we'll listen to Tom Petty.
All right.
While we're talking, this is a good one. God's Gift to Man in the background. 1995. Tom Petty came out with some great, great music, and he had this box set that came out in 95 with an entire new disc of music, of just stuff that he never released, and this was one of the songs on there. Just great. He was born on the same day as me. He's a Libra baby.
No kidding.
And yeah, I miss him. Him and Snoop, all born on the same day.
Wow. Yeah, I'm going to have to look that up.
Yep. Who's your favorite band? You have a favorite band? Favorite artist?
My favorite artist is Eddie Vedder.
Okay. All right. Eddie Vedder. With or without Pearl Jam? Either
with
way?
With or without. He's the only guy who can, in my opinion, who can rock a ukulele.
Yeah. 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 There's not a lot of good rockers that play ukulele. Steve Martin plays ukulele, doesn't he? I think
who?
He still does. Steve Martin plays ukulele, I think.
Yeah, he played ukulele, but he did it for comedic reasons.
Sure, sure.
And what was the other guy? The obvious one, Tiny Tim.
Oh, yeah, Tiny Tim. Didn't the Andrews Sisters play ukuleles?
You got me. The only Andrews Sisters I ever knew is when they appeared on the Abbott and Costello movies.
Sure, okay, yeah, yep.
Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy of Company B.
Yep. I like the Andrews Sisters. 1943. Rum and Coca-Cola is a great song. You ever hear that one? The Andrews Sisters?
Yeah. My mother and her sisters used to dress up and imitate the Andrews Sisters.
Yeah?
Today kids will do that with, modern bands or, in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, we used to do it with, you go to an 80s party and you dress up like somebody from AC/DC. My mother used to dress up like and sing like and dance like the Andrews Sisters with her own sisters.
Huh.
And I forget what the names of the Andrews Sisters were, but there was always one that was considered the prettiest and the most popular.
There was three of them, right?
Yeah. And my mother and her sisters always used to compete for which one could play the one that always stood in the middle.
Well, I do remember there was a Laverne, because Laverne Shirley, and then there's Patty and Maxine.
Yeah.
And when you think of them, when they dressed up as the Andrews Sisters, were they still in color or were they in black and white?
Black and white.
Yeah. That is dedication to becoming the person. Yeah.
And my mother
just removed all color.
My mother was one of 4 sisters, so there could only be 3 sisters performing the Andrews Sisters at a time.
Oh, no. Yeah, so one's
so
left out.
One
all
was
the
always
time.
Left out.
Well,
so
that person could be the audience member, right?
Well, they used to have little contests each day. Back in the days when people were innocent and pure and did things for decent reasons. If my mother and her sisters had chores, whoever finished their chores last didn't get to be an Andrews Sister that day.
That makes sense. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember playing like Make Me Laugh or like a variety show and doing that with your friends?
Yes.
Yeah, did that stuff all the time.
Yeah.
We do like Charlie McCarthy dolls and do ventriloquist acts and things like that.
Yeah, we used to play, what was that? Let's Make a Deal.
Oh, great show.
Yeah.
Let's Make a Deal was fun.
And you know how, like, in Let's Make a Deal, all the audience members were in costume?
Yep.
And we didn't...
For no apparent reason.
Yeah, we didn't do that, but we invented what was behind door number one, door number two, and door number three.
Yeah.
And it all started because of the George Carlin skit on...
Right.
On Let's Make a Deal.
Yeah, Let's Make a Deal. Let's go to the audience, and let's talk to the marble and the giraffe. Which one would you like to pick? Door number one, two, or three? And it's like there's no reason why they're dressed up as like a marble and a giraffe. Makes no sense. But they always chose the wrong door, too. You're like, come on. Choose the right door. I like the Gong Show when Gene Gene the Dancing Machine just came out and ended the show. That's what they needed for Let's Make a Deal. They needed Gene
Chuck
Gene
Barris
the Dancing Machine behind
that. Tell me
that.
Chuck Barris wasn't high off his... off his nut on every one of those shows. He looked like he was completely zonked.
I think so too. Promised Land in the background, Chuck Berry, back in the 60s. This guy was a genius. Chuck Berry, best. One of the original 10 rockers in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I think Chuck Berry was one of the first inductees. Elvis covered this one a little bit later. What do you think about the old 50s and 60s rock and rollers? Anybody come to mind other than Elvis or the Beatles?
No, those eras escape me.
Yeah.
You know, they were more important to my older siblings than they were to me. I guess I could say Sha-na-na.
The Sha-na-na, sure.
Yeah,
Sha-na-na was doing all the old hits in the on TV. They were doing 50s and 60s hits in the 70s.
My sisters used to have a bunch of albums from a band called the Cowsills. Did you ever hear of them?
I do remember them, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yep. They did a rendition of Mr. Postman, I think.
Yeah.
That was something. I mean, I used to listen to it, but as soon as I discovered like The Who and Led Zeppelin, all that stuff just never found its way onto the old turntable again.
I remember the Dennis Hopper quote, "As soon as we get out of the 80s, the 90s are going to make the 50s look like the 60s. Yeah. Yeah, so true. It's like 20 years later, everybody gets interested in it again. And it's like nowadays, though, it's like who's interested really in the 2000s? Because all that you started to get was like American Idol, like mass-produced bands, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't a whole lot of, especially rock and roll. Rock and roll is pretty much dead. There's not many rock and rollers left.
Wasn't Bush one of those mass-produced bands? They were like just put together by a studio. They never actually played together as a band.
They were from the 90s. No, they were a regular band. You mean Bush from like Pearl Jam and Nirvana?
Yeah, from that era. I thought they were more of like a studio hand.
What was his name? Like Gavin McLeod or something like
Gavin,
that.
Gavin something.
Gavin Rossdale.
Gavin Rossdale.
Gavin McLeod was the guy.
He was the Night Stalker. No, wait.
Gavin McLeod was the Love Boat Captain.
Gavin McLeod was the Love Boat Captain, and Darren McGavin was the father from A Christmas Story and Kolchak the Night Stalker.
That's right. Wow,
remember
what a great
Kolchak?
Show that was. Yeah.
That was awesome.
Bush was an English rock band formed in London 1992. Yeah. They were not just thrown together. You want to do another PSA for us?
Oh,
you can do one more. You can pick anything if you want.
I landed on a Big Brothers Big Sisters PSA.
That sounds good. Yeah, sure.
So the Big Brother Big Sisters public service announcement goes as follows. Be a Big Brothers Big Sisters volunteer and rediscover the kid in you. Being a big means simply sharing a little time with one great kid, just like someone once did for you. They match your hobbies, geography, interests, and personality with those of a little brother or little sister in the ages of 7 through 14. You can enjoy free tickets to pro sports, play ball, talk, or just hang out. You decide. You also get to be a kid again for a few hours each month. To learn more, and I can't vouch for this phone number because I don't know if it's still active, but that's what it says in the PSA.
Should be.
Please call 888-412-BIGS, 888-412-BIGS, or visit us online at bigbrothersbigsisters.org. And it when I landed on this page in your PSA book, it made me think back to a time in college when I was a big brother for the Broome County, New York, big brothers, big sisters. And a good friend of mine got me into it, and I ended up being a big brother to a kid named AJ.
Nice. Very good.
We took all the littles to a circus back in the day when it was permissible to have, like, the Ringling Brothers circus.
Yeah, the
and
Big
the animals.
Apple or something, yeah.
And the arena where we went to see the circus was the Broome County Hockey Arena.
Uh-huh.
And because it wasn't being used as a hockey rink, the three rings of the circus were down in the area where the ice hockey game was typically played. And because we were with the Big Brothers Big Sisters organization, they got us front row seats.
Wow.
So we're sitting in what would have been a front row seat to a hockey game. There was no plexiglass up because there was no hockey game. So we were just sitting there, open air, exposed to the circus. And at the end of every circus, if you've ever been to one, they have all the animals come around and march around in a parade.
Yeah.
And the elephants were walking by.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And the circus master cracked the whip.
Oh, no.
And the elephants stopped.
Yep.
And then the elephants put their front paws on the back of the elephant in front of them. And then the circus master cracked the whip a second time.
Yep.
And all the elephants stood up on their back legs.
Wow.
And while all of the big brothers and little sisters and big sisters were sitting in the front row of this arena watching the elephants stand on their hind legs.
Yep.
The elephant in front of us started pooping.
Sure, yeah.
Right? And it started walking back, and it started slipping in a puddle of its own
poop.
Oh,
yeah. It's never a little bit, either. It's always a lot.
And it immediately became apparent to us that a 60,000-pound elephant was pooping and staggering backward towards us, and it was going to crush us all.
Like a drunken elephant. Yeah.
The kid that screamed the loudest was me. It was like one of those movies where, like, a kid's about to be crushed. I left the kids, like, standing there. I got up and ran up the steps almost out of the arena, leaving all those children to die.
Oh, my God.
Naturally, the elephant didn't crush anybody to death, but I had a lot of splaining to do after the circus.
Sure, yeah.
They're like, Joe, why weren't you here to die with the rest of us when that crapping elephant fell on us all?
That's how you become a big, everybody. Big brother, big sisters there.
If that's not a ringing endorsement for that public service announcement, I don't know what is.
You've been listening to Time Travel with Chris Earle, Joe Marino. Thanks for coming in today, Joe. Any more shout-outs before we go here? We only got a couple minutes.
Just a shout-out to my loving wife, Maralexa, and my daughter, Lena.
All right, Time Travelers, see you next week. We'll be back next week with What Is This? With my co-host, Derek Gary. Have a good week, everybody.
Just like an angel, your skin makes me cry. You float like a feather in a beautiful world. And I wish I was special. You're so very special. And I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here? Don't care if it hurts. I wanna have control. I want a perfect garden.